The deal is that this is my last hurrah because I made a New Year's resolution that I'm not going to drink anymore during the week.
This is equal parts scotch, absinthe, rum, gin, vermouth, triple sec, and two packs of Splenda. Call it a one of everything.
Oh my God! It's me again!
All right, one more time around the block.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
I was actually up for SNL, and I always say, I didn't get it. One of my best friends at the time got it, and I always say it only took 13 short years to get The Office. It was a long 13 short years.
Did you audition for Lauren?
You know what? Lauren came to see a show I did. I had lunch with Lauren. I had interviews with Lauren. I didn't get to do the final round, but I was in consideration. And I was just at the SNL 50th at the concert at Radio City. And it was so great. Obviously, I've had a lot of therapy because I just had a great time.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. How the hell are you? Thanks for joining us. It's TCB Infomercial Tuesday with Kate Flannery from The Office.
Yes,
is
that
joining
office.
Us. We have reached the pinnacle of success, Chrissy. There is no greater hill to climb than having one of the... I'd say one of the main characters.
Oh, yeah.
From one of the best television shows that has ever been, ever, and ever will be. I think we can all agree that The Office is hilarious in so many ways. Brilliant for almost 10 seasons. I think it was 10 seasons.
I think it's eight, but...
How many years
eight or nine.
The Office?
Started in 20.
Nine and some bonus episodes.
Okay.
So there you go. Kate Flannery, who plays Meredith on The Office, is going to be with us in just a few minutes. And I'm really excited about this because this is one of my favorite television shows of all time. And I don't know too many people whose it isn't. So many people I know literally watch The Office on rerun all the time. You know how I have my favorite shows that I watch at night? The Office isn't in rotation, but I do watch Office episodes pretty often if I see them on live TV.
Oh, me too.
I was watching one the other day. I think it was the parkour episode with one of my kids. And he's like, what's parkour? I was like, well, let me show you what parkour is. And then we went to a park this weekend and I showed him parkour. Because, you know, parkour. I'm a parkour master, Chrissy. I don't know if you know that.
I did not know that.
With my bad hip and my bad back and my bad heart. I just run around doing parkour all the time. So many quotable lines. And Meredith owns a few of those throughout the season. So anyway, we'll talk to her all about that. Celebrating their 20th season. The Office is available on Peacock
20th
for
year.
Rewatch. Yeah, it's 20th year. Wow. And lest you think that Kate only did The Office, she has done many other things in her career. We'll talk to her about some of that. But one of the things I think you got excited about was the Jane Lynch Christmas variety show that they do.
Yeah, they
go out
band.
And sing, and they do it with a big band. And coming to a town near you during Christmas season. So we're only, you know, 9 short months away from that, but it'll be here soon enough. All right, so I have a little, let's do a little game before, not game, but let's talk about it a little bit.
Okay.
Before we have Kate in here. What is your favorite line from The Office? What is your most quotable line from The Office?
Oh, God. I don't know. There's so many. There's the one that my sister and I used to always laugh about when, Michael, he talks in his southern accent, and they're going down to Savannah.
My favorite Office quote of all time has got to be Jan all over, tan all over. Do you remember that when they went to Mexico and he had picture, like nude photograph, like topless photograph of her, and it was floating around the office?
So
and he
funny.
Goes, Jan all over, tan all over. What a great character. All right, I got a few more for you. I want you to tell me which character said this following line. Okay?
Okay.
Sometimes the clothes at Gap Kids are just too flashy, so I'm forced to go to the American Girl store and order clothes for large colonial dolls. Who is that? Yeah, I'll give you. You want me to give you a choice?
Yes.
Is it Dwight? Is it Pam? Is it Angela?
I'm going with Pam. I'm sorry, Angela.
Angela. It is Angela.
They did, like, she used to dress up as those colonial, her and Dwight, I think, or something.
No, as Angela. She was like the prude in the group. You know, she was always very tightwad, so to speak. I consider myself a good person, but I'm going to try and make him cry. Who said that? Was that Oscar, Michael, or Dwight?
Dwight.
No, that was Oscar.
Oscar
said that. If I don't have cake soon, I might die. Is that Stanley, Dwight, or Jim?
Stanley.
Of course it's Stanley. Yes. I'm faster than 80% of all snakes. Is that Dwight?
Dwight.
Okay. I don't even go any further on that. I'm not superstitious, but I'm a little stitious. Who said that? Dwight? Pam or Michael?
Michael.
Of course he did.
Yes.
Let's see here. I talk a lot, so I've learned just to tune myself out. Is that Pam, Dwight, or Kelly Kapoor?
Kelly.
Of course.
Yes.
All right. Let's go a little.
Mindy Kaling.
What's that?
That's Mindy Kaling.
That's right.
Yep.
Let's go a little deeper. I wish there was a way to know you're in the good old days before you've actually left them.
Jim?
Is that Jim? Is that Michael? Or is that Andy?
Jim.
Yeah, it's Andy.
Andy. Okay.
Andy was a great character on that show. And even though he was only in the later seasons of The Office, he was a great character in that show. I did like Andy's character. One day, Michael came in and complained about a speed bump on the highway. I just wonder who he ran over. Jim. Okay. There you go. All right. Sometimes I'll start a sentence and I don't even know where I'm going. I just hope I find it along the way. It's like an improv conversation. Michael, Jim, or Dwight?
Michael.
Michael, that's right. Identity theft is no joke, Jim. Millions of families suffer every year. Dwight, Michael, or Pam?
It's got to be Dwight.
It's Dwight. Okay, let's see here. Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me. Michael Scott, Dwight Schrute. Which one gave that?
Michael.
That's right. When you're a kid, you assume your parents are soulmates. My kids are going to be right about that. Oh, that's a sweet line from Pam. I'm just going to say that. You guys, like, I'm really smart now. You don't even know. You could ask me, Kelly, what's the biggest company in the world? And I'd be like, blah, 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 blah. Giving you the exact right answer every time. Kelly Kapoor. Let's see if I can find another deep cut here. These are all great lines, and I can almost remember the episodes.
Oh, yeah, it takes you back.
I'm fast. To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake, a mongoose, and a panther. Somewhere between.
Well, I mean, Dwight?
Of course.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
The Dunder Mifflin stock symbol is DMI. Do you know what that stands for? Dummies, morons, and idiots. Because that's what you'd have to be to own it. And as one of those idiots, I believe the board owes me answers. Oscar. That's great.
Oscar.
Oh, here's one from a lesser known character. Oh, I don't think it's blackmail. Angela just does what I ask her to do. So I won't tell everyone that she's cheating on Andy with Dwight. I think for me, it would be for it to be blackmail, I would have to put it in a formal letter. That's Phyllis. Phyllis.
Phyllis.
Phyllis.
Yes.
Okay, here's a little interesting like tie-in. I believe that Phyllis and, oh, now I can't remember his name, the bigger guy in The Office, like kind of the bald-headed one. Do you know who I'm talking about? What was his name in the office? I can't remember. Why can't I remember? Office characters. Let's see here.
Stanley.
No, but it's not Stanley characters. I'm going to find this out because I don't want to get it wrong. Kevin.
Kevin. Kevin. Yes.
Okay, so Phyllis and Kevin went to a local high school here in Atlanta.
That's right.
And they went to school with a couple of people that I know, and by all accounts, were very lovely people. And so just thought I'd share that. Just
I
a little
that
weird
Kevin
connection.
Was from here. I did not know Phyllis.
I believe that's it. I believe it was Phyllis and Kevin that was here. I know Kevin for sure, and I believe Phyllis also. I think they went to the same high school. If I'm not mistaken, I might be. Yeah. But that was the story that rolled around the bars for a long time, and I knew a couple people who knew. More specifically talked about Kevin being a I say Kevin. His name is Brian, actually. Kevin and Brian, that's me and my brother's names. Yes. Talked about him specifically being a very nice guy. So there you go. If you wanted to know in real life, let's find out if Kate is a really nice person too. Why don't we do this?
I bet she is.
I bet she is. We've had a good streak. I'd say of the 110 guests we've had, 108 of them have been pretty good. And one of them wasn't their fault. I would have been a dick to us too. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. And when we get back through the magic of telepodcasting, we'll have Kate Flannery, Meredith from The Office, celebrating 20 years of The Office. Yeah, let's do that. What do you think?
I think we should
do it. Okay, we'll be back.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you can make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
Kate is here with us now. Kate, so grateful for your time today. Thank you for joining us.
Welcome, Kate.
What can we say that probably hasn't already been said a million billion times? I have like one question that is when I knew you were coming on, it just was burning through my mind. How do you feel about The Office? Given some space between the last episode that the closing of the Office version one. Now, what is your relationship with The Office, the thing, the show, the entity, part of your life? How do you feel about it?
It is as my relationship with The Office is as strong as it was in 2004. It's crazy.
I am so happy.
It might be stronger. Yeah.
You've grown to love it. You've grown to find that this is just something you're really attached. It's such an iconic role that
really
you have
is.
Playing Meredith. This, like, in my opinion, one of the best characters on The Office is Meredith, perfectly played by you.
You're very kind. I'm actually most proud that I'm a female and I get to play a wacky character that has nothing to do with being someone's girlfriend or mother. She's a mother and she's a floozy, but still, it's like she's not defined by that.
Yes.
And that's a rare thing. It's a rare thing on television. It's a rare thing in movies. Like, women don't get to play exactly like the boys. And so it's really fun when I'm just really proud that they let me go there. Yeah.
And there the entire time. You were there for the entire stretch. How did you get involved in, by the way, it's 20th anniversary
yes.
of The Office.
And it's one of those shows, too, that I love because you can just watch over and over and over again. And you can pick up from the very first episode or the middle or the end, whatever. I love those shows. There's very few of those.
Yeah, I think there are. And what I love about our show, too, and why I think kids really like it is that, you know, we never tell you when to laugh. Mm-hmm. There's no like wait, you know, there's no laugh track, obviously. But I also feel like you can be laughing over something and then watch the episode again and find something funny about it that you didn't notice the first time.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of fun. You know, that's a rare, you know, it's a rare thing. We're just so lucky because, you know, normally British shows don't translate on American television. So our showrunner Greg Daniels took such good care of this and was so careful and so wonderful. And he's a former Saturday Night Live writer, a former Simpsons writer. And he's also the co-creator of King of the Hill, Greg Daniels. He's amazing. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. So we were in good hands from the start. And I knew Steve Carell when I was at Second City. We weren't in the same cast, but we were there at the same time. And it was just so nice to be a part, I mean, so incredible to be a part of his stardom, his breakout.
Oh, yeah.
Now the whole world knows what a great actor, smart, funny, genius Steve Carell is.
He really is. How did you get approached about doing the project? Or did you, I'm sure you had some auditions with Greg, or how did that come about?
I initially auditioned for the part of Jan.
Oh,
no way.
Wow. Go my way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. That would have been a whole different show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have. And the casting director, Allison Jones,
tan
said,
all over. I'm sorry. I just had to say it.
Right. No. It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Serenity Canyons? I don't know. Hunter? I don't know. But I think the casting director, Allison Jones, said, I don't know if this is the part for you, but I feel like this show is right for you. So I actually did not do the pilot. I actually replaced somebody from the pilot that was cut out.
Very interesting.
It's always strange when you come into a project. So I did not do the first episode, but I did every other one.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
And it's so odd because, it's just odd because they actually asked us to bring paperwork and to look busy at our desks season one. And I thought that was such a cool idea.
Yes.
So then when the camera catches you, you're not like suddenly working, you know, you're actually still in progress, in process. And so it did have that documentary feel from the start.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, as an ensemble person being from Second City, I did Del Close's Improv Olympic for years. I worked at the Annoyance Theater. I worked at a lot of funky theaters and did a lot of stuff where being an ensemble was really the most important part is to make sure you're there for everybody else.
You giving are a everybody
team
else.
Player.
Yeah.
Team player. Yeah. From whether you talk or not, you are in there. You're in it.
Yeah.
So I love being a fully actualized character, even if you don't speak, which I think is one of the most brilliant things about The Office, because we all work with people and we all went to school with people, and you did not get to know everyone equally well right away.
Sure.
True.
Things were revealed slowly, and sometimes there's people you'd be like, I didn't know that. Or you find out later, you're like, oh my God, I had no idea. That guy's nuts.
Yeah.
That guy's great. You know, whatever. It's just funny.
Creed's insane.
So I love the way. Yeah. Totally. But our show like had a slow reveal in such a great way. It was just, everything was just well-timed. And even if I didn't speak for episodes, I felt like when I did, it was totally worth the wait.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like something wonderful and interesting was revealed.
That, you know,
and messed up sometimes.
I read a book one time, and it was mentioning Aaron Sorkin in The West Wing, the breakout drama about The West Wing, the White House. And one of the interesting choices that they made from the beginning, and I'm sure this is a choice that was made by Greg or whoever at the time also, was that even if you're not in the scene, I want you on the set. So you'll look at where the, you know, Leo McGarry and the president are talking, and in the background is, you know, Bradley Whitford or whoever, and they're shuffling paper or they're reading or they're having a conversation with someone else. It adds depth and layer and color and clarity to the whole situation. It doesn't feel like everybody just runs out of the room. It feels like an actual working office when you watch The Office.
It's a sense of reality. Yeah, it's awesome. And it's I just feel like the level of thought and intelligence that was put into every script, and just having a great cast of great directors, great producers, great editors, you know, you just feel like you can't, you know, you're in good hands all the time. You're in good hands, so you can trust the process.
I'm interested to know how much of this is actually improv'd, and do you have bullet points? You're heading in a direction. I can improv inside of these parameters, or how much of that was improv'd, and how much of that ended up being scripted? Percentage wise,
I'd say maybe 4%, maybe 5% is improv.
Interesting.
Steve and Rain probably improvised a little more than most of us, but they also had more to say.
Sure.
So we would kind of like hit the actual script, and then I learned quickly that if I improvised within my lines or had like one little addition while I was speaking, because you know you're having to deal with camera guys who are like documentarians who are moving to, you know, they know who they're going to look at, you know, and focus on. So if you can't just like suddenly have an idea and railroad the whole process. You have to be like in focus, and you know.
I didn't
so
think
I always
about
say
that.
To actors, if you
yeah
yeah, but if you're improvising even within a sitcom, you have to know the parameters so that you're bringing a gift, not presenting a problem.
Mm-hmm. Wow,
so even if it's a funny idea, it has to go somehow within the lines of forwarding the action or just
you've got to hit a note. You've got to hit the notes. Yeah. So that you don't mess up the rest of the band.
And maybe reveal some. Yeah, exactly. So that was the big learning curve for me for sure. And also because I had done so much stage, I constantly reminded, like, bring it down. And I actually learned a great relationship with the camera, which I had never learned before. And I'm so grateful that they had the patience to go, okay, can you just do it one more time? Just do it a little less. Because sometimes shows, you know, that's, oh, she didn't get it. You're done. Bye-bye. Yeah, yeah. You're gone. Bye. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful.
Yeah, because what is the trajectory? You're at Second City, obviously one of the most famous, if not the most famous improv comedy theater in the world, right? With so many, and I know there's a couple of them, but for me as a Chicago boy, Second City is like, you know, the gold standard.
Yes.
And that's where a lot of the SNL characters came from. So you're in Second City. So obviously you're good at this. Like, you have a talent for this. If you're sitting with the other people at Second City, then you're doing okay.
It's a validation for sure.
Absolutely.
For sure. And I was actually up for SNL. And I always say I didn't get it. One of my best friends at the time got it. And I always say it only took 13 short years to get the office. It was a long 13 short years.
Did you audition for Lauren?
You know what? Lauren came to see a show I did. I had lunch with Lauren. I had interviews with Lauren. I didn't get to do the final round, but I was in consideration. And I was just at the SNL 50th at the concert at Radio City. And it was so great. Obviously, I've had a lot of therapy because I just had a great time. I just was like, oh my God, everything went down the way I was supposed to. Woo!
Yes.
Kate, you don't know me, but let me tell you, if Lauren Michaels, you know, had even said my name out loud, I would consider that the end of the road for me. I'd be like, that's good. I can die happy. Like, being in consideration for such an iconic show.
Right. And that was the therapy move, is like not feeling like, oh, you were up for the dream and it's gone. It's like, no, you've been recognized, you've been validated, and if you can just move forward. Because there's a lot of people that have been up for SNL that didn't get it that we all know.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Stephen Colbert. I mean, there's a ton of people. You know, it's one of those things, but you just, you know, hopefully rejection is protection. If you look at it that way and just realize, oh, I'm just being redirected. There's something else waiting for me. So just keep it up. And I remember, you know, I started to do a comedy act in 2001 with a friend of mine from Second City days. And we did a two-person dying lounge act. We did it for 20 years. We still did it when The Office ran. We did a lot of comedy festivals and comedy clubs. We did it every Saturday for 5 years initially.
Wow.
Even when The Office was running, I did it for another year every week. And just really enjoyed it because I also realized I had my friends were getting famous and they weren't necessarily calling me. And I was like, oh, I think I have to figure out how to show up on another map. Like, how do you keep yourself in the game?
Sure.
And, you know, doing comedy live at clubs was a great way to do it. And so we kind of found a funky way to get in. So we were sort of in the cover band comedy world. So we were opening for people like Richard Cheese, for the Dan Band, Kettle's Pity Party, Garfunkel and Oates. Like, there's a bunch of, like, there was a world of music and comedy that we were a part of. And that was great for me.
So Saturday Night Live, let's call it consideration, for your consideration. We just had a whole episode about this. For your consideration.
Yes. Great movie.
Great
too.
Movie.
Right. The best. Yes. The best.
So for your consideration.
Catherine
and
O'Hara.
Then a short, oh my God, like all of them. Great ensembles. You talk about great ensembles. All the Christopher Guest movies. The Office is another one you think of. When you, 13 short years later, as you put it, what does your agent just call you? And she says, I think we got this role. I think it's good for you. I want you to go and audition. Or does Greg Dant, how did they pick
you? Oh, no, it was an audition. It was an audition. It was an audition. And, you know, it's also like I didn't have an agent for a while. I was told we're passing on you because of your age and your looks. I think I was like 38 when that happened. I'm like, what the hell? I was doing comedy clubs. I had done off Broadway. I had like a big hit with a show off Broadway in that we did in LA first. It was a stage production of the movie Valley of the Dolls.
Okay.
I had a lot of great news. I had a little buzz. Like, I had some yeses. I had some attention. I felt like I was getting recognized in New York. Even if it was below 14th Street, I felt like it was our show had sort of a Rocky Horror Picture Show cult following for a while. And, you know, I mean, it was good. And I also sang in a band in New York with One of the guys from They Might Be Giants.
Oh, really?
That were big in the 80s and 90s. Uh-huh. Yeah, they had another band called Monopuff, and I was in Monopuff, and we would open for the Giants. So I had like a world. I was in the world. I did like a sketch on Conan. Like I was kind of part of that. I think I did some sketches on Jimmy Kimmel. I showed up in weird places, and then I was on Bernie Mac show and a show called the Boomtown.
Oh,
I played Neil McDonough's secretary. And was so excited because they were like, oh, they want you to recur now. They loved you in your first episode. So I got the second script. And 2 days later, I got the call that the show was canceled. So that was right before the Office. So it's okay. You know, you got, that's all right. And then again, like if I had been on that show, I couldn't have done The Office. So I think it worked out.
Did you were on the Bernie Mac show. Did you have a chance to meet and sit with Bernie Mac to talk to him?
Yes, I got to hang out. He was the best.
Man, everybody says this.
He was the greatest. He would have a separate lunch for all the kids and their parents in his huge dressing area. He had like a, you know, it was like a house just for him.
Yeah.
He was the greatest. He saw everyone, so kind, so funny, so smart. I felt very lucky to guest star. And I was still waiting tables, by the way, at a restaurant in Beverly Hills when all this was going on, by the way. And I kept my restaurant job up and through the first season of The Office.
Yeah.
I did. It's just like I was waiting on a lot of famous people.
You know, I have an interesting story. So the other day I was watching Reels and a reel came up about Bernie Mac cutting a promo for the Bernie Mac show, mm-hmm. which, by the way, I think is one of the more underrated comedies of our generation.
It's so good.
It's so good. It's so funny. And it's poignant. Uh-huh. It's poignant. He's a good dad and he teaches. Anyway, so one of the directors of this promo is trying to get this little girl this little guy to sit on his lap or this little girl to sit on his lap. And Bernie keeps telling the director, not going to do that. It's not appropriate. I'm not going to do that. And the director keeps pushing him until finally Bernie says, not doing the promo. I'm not having this person sit on my lap. But it was just like Bernie had like a moral compass and it didn't matter about Hollywood.
Yeah.
It just goes to like, I'm not making a larger point about kids and who's sitting on laps and all that. What I'm making the point is that Bernie was he had a umami about him, like this life force about him that it really comes through on screen. Did you get the sense?
He did. And he would fly back to Chicago every weekend because he had friends and family in Chicago that he didn't want to abandon. Like he was on the move. Like,
yeah.
He was always moving. Yeah,
great loss. What a great loss.
Yeah. I know. What a loss. Devastating.
Did you get this sense after the first season of The Office? I might be mistaken about this, but I think I remember, and you know, because I'm like everybody else in the world, have watched Office a million times and behind the scenes and all that other stuff. Am I right that it wasn't a breakout hit after the first season? It wasn't. There were you guys were almost on the chopping block. They didn't know if there was going to be a second season, and NBC granted you that second season, and that's really when you started to hit your stride. But did you guys get the sense in the room that something magical was happening?
I knew it was a great show, but I didn't think it was an NBC show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
One of the few times I improvised since season one was during healthcare, and you know, there was a whole conversation where I said, you know, to Dwight, you know, because he's trying to cut the healthcare.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
and I say, like, uterus is different from a vagina. I still have a vagina. We have this argument about hysterectomies. that was one of the few times I got to improvise. And I was like, oh, my God. And then I remember seeing Greg Daniels in the restaurant where I was working. He just happened to come in, completely ignored that I was in the weeds and wearing a uniform. And he's like, oh, my gosh, that line that you improvised about the vagina, we're fighting with the network. We're hoping it stays. And luckily it did stay in. But it's just like that never would have happened if it was HBO. But
right.
I also feel like part of why TV changed was because Friends was over, Frasier had ended, mm-hmm. Joey was on the air and not doing well. Mm-hmm. And so that's when our first season we were on during the time when Joey was on.
Yeah.
And I think the NBC was just looking for something. And also 40-Year-Old Virgin, Steve made 40-Year-Old Virgin between the pilot and the second episode of The Office. And when it was about to come out, which was the beginning of when we were filming season two, the buzz was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Because the posters were everywhere.
I remember
and
that.
I remember we got to go to the premiere. We all came from the studio, our you know, set. And I remember Ben Stiller was there and Will Ferrell and Jim Carrey. And I was like, they were like checking out the new guy. They were nervous about the new guy.
Yeah.
And the movie was so, such a big hit. And, you know, they're like, oh my God, we have that guy. So I feel like it was really Steve Carell I think, his magic that
kind of allowed us through
and also his
too.
Heart. Yeah, and yeah. Also he understood how to make a guy who's just so awkward, says the wrong thing yes. all the time, but has a heart.
Yes.
It's like, because I feel like the British Absolutely. Version was so mean and so dark mm-hmm. and like really funny, but like, whoa, really
yes.
tough.
Yeah, I agree yeah, with you on this. And I have had arguments about this with friends of mine and other people. I am not the biggest fan of the Office BBC, of the Office UK. I'm not. And I think it's funny in its own way. And
it
I
is,
love
yeah.
British comedies. I mean, you can ask Chrissy.
Yes.
I know them all and I watch them all and I'm tuned into that universe. But something
sure.
about that Office UK, because I watched the Office US first, there is
Me
something
too.
Tender and gentle and empathetic about most of the characters in the Office that is lacking in some of the characters that just gives it this depth. It's like, I don't know. It's like soup after.
Well, I think that's why you.
Yeah, it's like soup after you've been sitting for a couple of days. It's better. It has more flavors. It's like the flavors come out or something.
Right.
I don't know how to explain it. But,
totally. Yeah. No. I think that's well stated. And I also think that I don't think. I mean, there's a reason why the British Office has so few episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like it's really hard to watch this character because he's not really growing as a human. It's hard to get behind him for years. And
yeah,
years
yeah.
and years.
I agree.
After season.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And,
yeah.
and
so
it's
we're lucky.
Really easy to get behind. Michael Scarn as he's been.
Yes, totally.
What is? And I know that. So now you're. When are you world famous? When do you get out of your house and realize, holy shit, I did it. I made it. Here I am. People are recognizing you. They're repeating the lines. They're probably saying, I don't know. They're. I can only imagine all the lines.
Well, I feel like for me it was. No, totally. I feel like for me, personally, it felt more like season four for me mm-hmm. because we started the season with Fun Run where Michael Scott hits Meredith with his car.
Yes.
So that was sort of like a what? And then I remember I got a call. Joaquin Phoenix had canceled on the Tonight Show and they asked me to be on instead.
Oh,
and I was like, oh my God. So that was sort of like the first big, oh my gosh. And I remember being at my parents', summer place in New Jersey and I was on the boardwalk and like I just felt like all these kids were like running toward me and I started running. I'm like, wait a minute, what am I running? I'm not it's fine. Okay, we can talk. It's fine.
Yeah.
But there was definitely like a oh my gosh, you better, don't curse and you better watch what you say in front of other people.
Sure.
You better be grateful.
How fun.
Well, it's gotta be such a huge change. You're waiting tables through season one, right? Probably the character is growing but still limited in season two and three. And then then all of a sudden this ensemble, like this kind of core group of characters starts to come into play and now people are becoming familiar with them. So now everyone knows you as Meredith and they're familiar with you. And we were talking about this with someone else just last week is like you grow an affinity and a relationship with these characters on the screen. And it's,
yes,
it's interesting how in our minds, it's like we do have a friendship with these people that we're watching. Did you ever feel uncomfortable with the amount of attention that the Office was being paid or everybody, kind of knowing who you were?
I mean, it's a champagne problem. It's
yeah.
champagne. You
got
to make peace with it. If you don't make peace with it, you're screwed.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I just feel like it's literally like deciding to be happy or not.
Right.
yeah. I mean, sometimes people come up to you and they think I'm their third grade teacher and they're like, no, I think I was in your, I was like, oh no. And then, and I'm like, oh my God, I messed up, which is really fine. So funny. Uh-huh. But I'm so grateful. Also, it's really nice to be, I was 40 when I got the Office. Mm-hmm. It's much better. You're much wiser when you're a little older and you have much more perspective and gratitude when you're older.
True.
I think, than when you're in your 20s, you think, this is never going to end. I'm going to go from show to show to show. And you don't realize that these things are very, very, very rare.
Yeah.
And
be in such an iconic show that will probably live for a very long time somewhere. I mean, it bounces from, streamer to streamer. And every time there's a huge PR push and everyone, falls in love again with The Office and it gets introduced to
new generations.
I have a 6-year-old child and I was watching The Office about 2 weeks ago. I was watching, I can't, the parkour episode.
Casual Day?
Yeah.
Casual Day.
I hope not. Yeah. I hope not. Oh, God.
I was watching the, I think it was the parkour episode, and I was in my son, I saw my son like engage with this episode, and he was like, "What's parkour? Why are they yelling? Why did that guy fall in the trash can?" But he was starting to laugh at it too. And I thought to myself, there's the next generation of Office fans coming up right here.
Right.
And that's got to be like when you go to bed at night, sometimes I bet there is a sense of like gratitude and holy cow, I did it. I was a part of one of the best, right? I was there.
Totally. And as a child of like 70s TV, I remember watching shows like MASH and like Mary Tyler Moore, where they had these wonderful long runs and they had these wonderful finales. So yeah. I feel like we got that too. We got a wonderful finale. So trust me, I am beyond grateful. And I feel like, you know,
Please go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say.
No. The other thing I was going to say is that I feel like sometimes when I put when I say to actors like, don't count your lines, stop counting your lines if you get a part, because sometimes people want to talk more when they want to talk more, and I feel like I learned to stop doing that because I realized like, you know, sometimes I had a lot to say and most of the time I didn't, and sometimes I still got a laugh even if I just got a look and I would get a laugh. So I trusted like, okay, that's just part of this process. And you can still be very present in a scene and not speak and still like people know who you know. It's a contribution. It's a platform. So I felt super lucky with that. So I also think like, you know, some people want to be the star. Some people want to be the sidekick. I feel like, you know, in many ways I describe Meredith as like, I was the onions. It's like, it's good to be the onions.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah,
I wasn't the main course. I wasn't the side dish. I was like kind of always there with some flavor, baby. You know,
sauteed mushrooms.
Salt shaker on the table. You come in and you sprinkle some flavor on a lot of these episodes.
A little bit, yeah.
I would, you know, in my mind at least, Meredith is a major character in The Office, right? Mm-hmm. And so,
well, it's great to be there every day and just like I said, be a part of this energy. Like we were we were there all, you know, all day, every day. It was fantastic. So even if I didn't speak, I was like really enjoying every day, every moment of the process and watching, you know, just the funniest scenes take place.
Could The Office as it stands today, could it get made again? First of all, I know the answer to this is no, because Netflix, and God bless Netflix, and I know that, you know, they probably pay some bills or something, but the Netflix and the streamers now have this kind of habit of three and done, right? Three and out, to speak, three seasons and out. Do you think The Office could,
if you're lucky,
could The Office survive today? Could you do another run similar?
I think everybody's so scared of comedy too. We're getting better, but it's still I feel like people making fun of other people is, when I grew up, I feel like it was always a source of affection.
Yes.
It wasn't bullying.
Agreed.
And I feel like it's been misunderstood. And I think we've had some comedy police that need to
tone down.
I agree.
I think it is getting better. I think there's some level heads coming into the conversation. And listen, I also think that, you know, there might be situations where it gets taken too far, but that's in the comedy club to work it out. And you find that funny, then there's somebody you'll find funny. And if you don't find that funny, you don't have to go, right? It's not your thing.
Yeah.
You don't have to go. But The Office to me is just good, wholesome fun. And I agree with you. When I was a kid growing up in the 80s, you know, and the 90s, this was a way to endear yourself to your group of friends. It was like you poked at people and, you know, you and that. Mm-hmm. It toughened you up a little bit. It toughened you up, but then it also was good fun. It was like, oh, you know, it was good fun to jab at your friends.
If they don't give you a hard time, they don't love you. Like,
that's it.
That's what I always grew up with. Like, that's how they show love. Yeah.
Are you Irish Catholic?
Can you tell?
Me too.
My dad owned a bar, Flannery's Tavern, baby.
I know.
I'm an alcoholic Nepo baby, right?
Is there a Meredith in Kate and Kate in Meredith? I imagine there is somewhere, right? A little bit of that wild child you know,
St.
kind
Patrick's
of irreverent.
Day was last week. Yeah, I'm still recovering.
That's why we had to reschedule a week later. She's like, no, St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
I can't possibly. Yeah, I got it. After you have a few drinks, does Meredith ever come out? Do you have like idiot friends who say, you know, repeat a line from The Office?
Not really.
Good. God bless your friends.
I have a lot of actor friends, so yeah. I'd have to be like, okay, you repeat your line
right.
from your show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Were you guys all friendly? I mean, I'm sure there were. It's like a family, and you were together for so many years. There were moments when this
so
person or
people.
That person.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I knew Angela before because we were in an all women improv group called Bitch Planet.
I love that.
We did for a couple years. Yeah. It was like in the early, 2001. Yeah, we had a great time. And I knew Steve from Second City. And nice. Oscar and I should have met a million times. I knew Dave Koechner, who played Packer. I knew a few people, you know, and some of the directors I knew. But yeah, it was definitely, you know, just the greatest group of people. I mean, they are family. We are a family.
And to
for
see
sure.
some of them, like Mindy Kaling and John Krasinski and all these people really just...
Amazing. Yes. Huge. Such talented, yes. such hardworking, super talented individuals.
And The Office Great Ladies. Minds. And The Office Ladies has been a breakout podcast hit.
Afterwards,
they have
absolutely.
Yeah. And I know you've been on that. You've been on that show on Office Ladies.
Yes.
Do you all still stay in touch? Is there some camaraderie that happens still to this day?
We have text threads that we do. Yeah. And then some of us do some fan events together still. Like I just did I was just at Texas A&M with Leslie David Baker, who plays Stanley. We speak at colleges, and then I'm doing some fan event with Rain and Oscar and I think Brian. Yeah. So we get around.
Biggest surprise personality outside of The Office, like the person who was on the screen who I found to be like different in the most engaging and wonderful way, besides Kate, of course, our new friend, is Rain. Rain is mm-hmm. a really interesting human being.
But he does know a lot about Battlestar Galactica. He's Dwight adjacent.
Yeah,
but yeah, he's a lovely person. I actually just saw him. He was doing a Broadway show. You're in town, and I got to see the last performance
when
I was in New York a few weeks ago. He was great.
Yes.
He was great.
I think
he was singing, and he was great. He was great.
I think Dwight is one of the most iconic television characters ever. And I don't think you can't have a little bit of Dwight in you to play that role so well.
Yeah.
I think you have to have Dwight in there. All right, you're stuck on an island.
Fact.
Yeah. Yes. You're stuck on an island, and you got to bring two Office characters with you. Who are you bringing?
I think Michael Scott and Dwight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a good answer.
I love Jim and Pam. I love everybody, but I feel like, They did. I always loved the Jim Dwight.
Yes.
You know, the games that they would play, the dueling.
Yes, the death.
Dueling.
All the pranks that they would play.
So great. And I love the Jim and Pam love story.
Yes,
I
of course.
Love. I mean,
were you guys
like,
rooting for that
for
love story? I was too. Yeah, yeah. Me too.
Always.
Yeah.
But the back and forth, like, I could so relatable.
Yes. It really is. It's like, it's so touching, and the little looks that they would give each other and the way that they would just be so, caring for each other. You were just rooting from the beginning for Jim and Pam, and when it worked. And it worked, and it worked out in such a wonderful way, in a non-cheesy way, where you're like, oh, my God, okay, get it. You know,
right.
You wanted every moment that they showed of that relationship was mm-hmm. a poignant moment, and one that then furthered the story. So it didn't get overly like it didn't become about Jim and Pam. It wasn't the Jim and Pam show, which is what
right.
I feared at the time. Like, oh, now it's going to be the Jim and Pam relationship show. But it wasn't. It was still very much
sideline
The Office. What is your favorite episode of The Office?
So hard
That's hard to
one.
Choose.
I know.
It's
really hard.
I know. But
I know. I feel
okay. Sudden
know.
Death.
Sudden death.
Or
you know what? I love the injury. I love when Michael Scott burns his foot on his George Foreman.
Yes.
Rest in peace, George Foreman.
Yes,
George Foreman.
R.I.P. George Foreman.
But that phone call when he's like calling to tell everybody that he and he's on speaker that he burned his foot, and then the talking head afterwards where he explains in his office like. why he has a George Foreman grill by his bed, because he likes to wake up to the smell of bacon.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a butler. It's like, I'm sorry. And that was like the episode where Dwight has a concussion and they're driving in Meredith's minivan.
Yes,
that's the first time I found out I had a minivan.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That was with the squirt bottle for the cat. I can't even. And Jim's trying to keep him awake. Oh my gosh.
I love it.
So great.
Did you break character? Were you? How often did you break character, or did you guys just get really good?
I wasn't a big breaker. Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's some people that were like super laughers. I mean, sometimes we would laugh, but I usually was not the first person. But I feel like I'm in a drama. I would tell myself
right.
Yeah, that's total professionalism because I don't know how I would not be a breaker on that set. But then again, you know, I'm watching the final finished product.
Yeah,
and we were talking to someone else who was on a great comedy show, and he was explaining that
Gemstones. Yeah, it was
Tim Baltz.
Yes.
And so Tim Baltz was saying, listen, sometimes you have 14-hour days, and you know that if you break, we're adding an extra hour and 15 minutes onto the day.
Right.
And so that gives me all the motivation I need to stay in character.
Totally. And I also like would watch Steve Carell just do most of the talking. And I feel like if somebody else laughs, you're like, dude, you're going to make him start this whole scene all over again. Like,
Like
you gotta just like, don't mess it up for him.
Hold it together.
Okay. But there's life after The Office. I know. And thank you for indulging us on all these office questions, but there's life after The Office, sure. And you're not all about The Office. Tell us what else you also have.
Jane Lynch,
a wonderful show with Jane Lynch. What else is going on for Kate?
Well, I do a bunch of I recur on a cartoon or two. I'm on Universal Basic Guys, which is it's a Philadelphia comedy.
I liked that.
I think it's on right after The Simpsons.
Yes.
It's on Sunday nights on Fox. So fun. I got to do the pilot and I just got to do a guest star again. So it's so well written. I'm so happy for those guys because it's their first and the fact that they got on Sunday nights on Fox is huge.
It's really good. I watched three episodes and I really liked it. I thought, oh, this could be another. I mean, King of the Hill is one of my favorite. Another Greg Daniels show.
The best.
It's coming back. And so we'll see what happens with that. But Universal Basic Guys is not the King of the Hill, but it's just something about the writing on that show. It's so good. It's really well written.
It's definitely worth your time. And you know, I feel like I'm doing, I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of all over the place right now, but things are good. I get to sing with Jane, pretty frequently. I mean, we're always on tour every Christmas because we did a Christmas album together that did very well. We were literally on the Billboard Top 10 for a couple weeks.
That's insane.
I love it.
That's okay. I know, right?
So yeah.
It's called Let's Wing a Little Christmas. You can find it on iTunes and Spotify and all that stuff. And or you can buy the CD on Amazon. If you might need to get a new car.
If you have a player.
Right. So it's a joy. And we get to play really great places, big halls. And like, you know, sometimes we play for 2,000 seats or 3,000 seats or 500 seats. We're kind of all over the place, but it's really been a joy. And we've been doing that for 10 years.
Yeah.
So that's really fun. And we have a non-Christmas show as well.
How did you
enjoy it? Go to Jane Lynch Official, you see.
Okay. Yeah. Jane Lynch Official.
I knew the first time. Okay. The first time I ever went to Second City, Jane Lynch was understudying. She was on stage understudying for Bonnie Hunt. And then a year and a half later, I became Jane's understudy. It's crazy. Then we started singing together. For benefits, and like there were a couple live shows that we would do, just like little bits in some sketch shows we did together. Then we did a sketch show in LA where we got to sing in that with a bunch of other people, like Anna Gostar and oh my God, it's like so many great people that were coming, and Joey Salloway. And then we got to do then we became award show buddies because Glee and The Office were
right,
on at the same
right,
time.
Right.
And then our shows got canceled around the same time. So Jane asked me to kind of join her in this cabaret endeavor in New York, and
I can't
we just
wait
never
to
looked
it.
Back. We had a great time. It's really fun. We sing with the Tony Guerrero Quintet. They're great.
I think it's great. I love Jane. Jane is also iconic.
She's
right?
the greatest.
Yeah, she really is.
Her role in Murders and Only Murders in the Building cracks me up
so great. I know.
I love it.
Who knew she'd be Steve Martin's double?
I know.
It's just so fun. So awesome. And we were just watching Mrs. Maisel again. She's so great on The Marvelous Mrs.
Yeah,
Maisel.
That's right.
She's
that's right.
Jane. That part is nuts.
I love that show. Okay, so one more question. How are you feeling? Yeah. There's been a lot of talk about Office reboot. I think it's happening. I think there's been, you know, I've read in the trade rags that it's happening. Has there been any conversation about old characters?
Not that I know of.
Not that you know of.
No, there's a spinoff.
Oh, it's a spinoff.
Right now,
I'm sorry. Okay.
It's a spinoff. Yeah, it's not a reboot.
So it's a spinoff of The Office. Do you think there'll be any intertwinglings between the two offices, like for any reason?
I'm not sure. I know. It's funny. I just ran into our editor the other day a lot of the same crew is on the show. So it's like, I miss you guys. So I don't know. That'll tell me squat.
Yeah.
I also have a big mouth, so I have to watch. But you'll know when I know.
But I don't know.
I mean, it was nice to get to do an AT&T commercial with five other people from The Office.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's been
really, really fun. That was really fun. I felt like we just all fell right back into the groove. It was great.
It seemed like you guys were having fun. Am I not mistaken? That was on the Super Bowl? One of those commercials played on the Super Bowl. We're always on, like we tend to be on sports
mm-hmm. events, like on during the Masters and like now on the during the March Madness
tournament
all the time. Yeah,
I would.
There's a couple different shorter versions and stuff too. Yeah,
I would happily pay the $19.99 a month double if they would make new offices of the actual Office with all of the characters back. I mean, I know everyone.
I will let them know, Brian. Yes. I will report back.
Kate, you're the best. Text me. I'll have my people call your people and we'll talk to Greg and see if we can't get another 10-episode run on Netflix or something like that. You are.
Sounds good. Oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
You guys are awesome. I meant to mention, I'm on a new episode of Night Court.
Night Court.
With the great John Larroquette and Melissa Rush. Those guys are so awesome. I love that they're doing it. It's so fun. It was so fun. So fun to be a part of
that. Yeah.
Wendy Malick is in the cast now, too. It's mm-hmm. And I feel like I've gotten to do some really, really super fun shows. So I feel super, super
congratulations.
Super lucky.
That is a reboot.
I thought, oh my God, how are they going to reboot Night Court? Because, you know, how do you do that? But honestly, it's a good show.
It works. Yeah.
It's a good show. They made it work. They made
Absolutely.
It work, and I think it's well acted, and it's really funny. And John, of course, is a legend. So
he is a legend.
And all they're missing is Harry. And God bless Harry. They're doing a great job with the new characters over there. Kate Flannery is, of course, Meredith in a little show called The Office, which, you know, every couple of years she gets another $200 million check for it to move from streamer from streamer to streamer. How much do they give you?
Oh, if only, Brian.
I know.
That is a
freaking Dundee she is holding up. YouTube.com/thecommercialbeat.
It's my second Dundee. The first one is Grace Under Fire. This is it's not Best Redhead though. So
that is crazy.
I love it.
Oh my God.
And I was have our Funko. I'm not full of props. Meredith Funko Pop.
Oh,
my first casual day.
What else do you have?
There's the Funko Pop of from Fun Run. So it's my cast, my pelvis cast.
Oh my God. I love it.
You know there is some.
And then here's my. Oh wait, sorry.
Go ahead. I was going to say, you know, there's some guy or girl out there that would pay $1,700,000 for that Dundee. I know it.
Actually, and we're going to be a bunch of us from The Office are going to be in at the Meadowlands. I think it's the first weekend in August. There's a reunion, Office reunion con. So I think Angela's going to be there. Oscar, Creed, Leslie David Baker, Brian Baumgartner. And a bunch of people that have done guest stars. Yes. Andy Buckley, who played David Wallace.
Oh yeah,
it's going to be great. Wayne Wilderson, who played Martin. There's some really fun people that'll be on it. You got in Bob Vance. It'll be fun.
I love Bob Vance.
So if you're in the Meadowlands, first week in August, coming, and then you can get your Funko Pop sign.
I love that
Funko Pop. I want one of those.
Crazy.
I'm
very proud.
I will put the links to all of this information and make sure that our listeners hear it. And if they want to go to the Meadowlands or they want to see your shows, Jane Lynch, mm-hmm. The Office, all of that stuff. I feel very grateful, just like a note of seriousness. I feel very grateful to have spoken with you because you were part of an ensemble that played
part of a period in our lives.
Yeah, a period in our lives.
You know?
Growing up. And you were our friends on the other side of the screen. And I know you got me through a few hard days. And still to this day, you're good for a laugh. And, you know, parkour. That's all I got to say. Parkour, Kate.
I'll drink to that. I will drink to that. You guys are awesome.
Best
thank
to
you.
You.
So
you're
much.
Welcome back anytime. Yeah, thank you, Kate.
Thanks
we'll
for
talk
having
to
me.
You soon.
Really appreciate you guys. Okay. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Let me do something Brian has never done. Be brief. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break. Text or call us 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Visit our website, tcbpodcast.com, for all the audio, video, and your free sticker. Then watch all the videos at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. And finally, share the show. It's the best gift you could give a few aging podcasters. See, Brian? That really wasn't that difficult, now was it? You're welcome.
I was so happy to talk to Kate. It's like...
What a pleasure.
I know. You know, when I was thinking about this morning in my shower, my 15-hour shower, when I was thinking about having Kate here, I thought, could I have imagined 15 or 20 years ago when I first started watching The Office? And I watched it from the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And that doesn't make me special or anything. I'm not like that guy who says, you know, oh, I saw it before they were cool. I just watched it from the beginning and it was my kind of comedy and I really enjoyed what they were doing. Didn't understand the first episode. I was a little confused as to how it was all going down, but I loved what they were attempting. I loved where they were going with it. And I mean, I could never have imagined sitting here talking to Meredith from The Office when I was watching The Office. So this is one of those childhood dreams come true, Chrissy. They really do. All you have to do.
I know. I was wondering, too, a thought that crossed my mind, too, was thinking about how, you know, the office culture has changed so much now after the pandemic. Would people still be able to, like, I mean, the comedy itself is so funny. But, you know, I think... working in that environment, which everybody did.
Yes. Well, a lot of people had those kind of jobs, like cubicle type jobs where you would sit in an office with other people and actually communicate.
5 days a week, 40 hours a week, you know, or more.
Clock in, clock out.
Office romances and the people that you hated and the people that you liked and all of that.
Now, an AI chatbot is doing all the sales for you. There would be no Pam or Jim. They would just be AI assistants at this point. So, yeah, a lot of things have changed and they will continue to change, but I believe that The Office will far outlive any kind of office culture.
Absolutely, you can always watch that.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Well, thanks to Kate. The Office, available on Peacock. All episodes. Go rewatch it. I know you've watched it, so rewatch it.
I've rewatched it.
Rewatch it. Put a little jingle jangle in Kate's pocket. She's got to get like some kind of like residuals or something from that. I have to imagine. I wasn't so rude as to ask her, but in my mind, she's getting residual payments. Every time I press play, she's getting a penny in her pocket. So I'll keep pressing play, because I like those people. They're my flavor of hot sauce, Chrissy, as I would say.
So many breakout stars.
All of them.
So too, yeah.
All of them, breakout stars. And what a great idea at the New Jersey Meadowlands. That's a big venue.
Yeah.
To do an office reunion. I don't imagine that Steve Carell will show up, but, you know, maybe, you never know.
Yeah.
Maybe Will Ferrell stops by. Who knows? But Kate's going to be there along with some of the other characters. And people that she mentioned. So if you're in the New Jersey area or you're that kind of office fan, you can fly up and check it out August 1st. I'll put links in the show notes. All the details are available down below, as always, with our guests. And we'll keep reminding you this week to go check it out. And the Jane Lynch Christmas
I don't think the dates
variety
are out
show
yet.
Interview.
Yeah,
the
I dates. Tried to look.
Yeah.
But they will come out. They do it every year. So
we will make a note that we will certainly forget to remind you during Christmas season to go check out Kate and Jane Lynch. Who knows? Maybe she'll come back. Because that I just scratched the surface. I could ask a million more questions. I could go really deep on The Office. But also, I don't want to irritate the shit out of her. You know what I'm saying? Like, there might be a point where an actor or an actress who's done a character like that goes, okay, I really don't want to rehash every single thing that ever happened. But then you got The Office ladies who rehash every single thing that ever happened.
Yes.
So I don't know. Maybe we'll start an office podcast with Kate. Hey, maybe that one will make money. You never know. TCBpodcast.com. That's where you go. You find out more information about Chrissy and I. All the audio, all the video, all the show notes, links to every single guest, every single thing. It's all there. You can go on the website and see it there. At the commercial break on Instagram, TCBpodcast on TikTok, and YouTube.com/TheCommercialBreak. for all the episodes on video the day they air here on the audio. 212-433-3TCB. Questions, comments, concerns, content, ideas. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for now.
I think so.
I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.